Welcome to ACMN Conversations, a podcast about marketing, media and entertainment matters in Australia. I'm ACMN's Managing Director, Lyndall Pond, and today we are very excited to have an international guest on our podcast, Emma D'Souza, Head of Marketing and Communications for the Society of London Theatre. Welcome along, Emma.
Hello, lovely to be here.
I'll just give you a little background before we get started. So London's West End, alongside Broadway, is the heartbeat of the global theatrical industry. And pre-COVID, the West End alone would have over 14 million people in their theatres each year. That is a phenomenal number by anyone's standards. The Society of London Theatre was established in 1908, although it's morphed in over time into what it is today. It's there to champion theatre and the performing arts with a focus on industry members and audience growth. So Emma herself has been at SALT for 22 years, and I remember our paths crossing in my CAMMAC days all those years ago. Her role there is to raise the profile of London theatre, supporting their members and driving great experiences for audiences. Now, some of the shows have reopened post-COVID, but the majority of the West End theatres are reopening from the 21st of June without social distancing. So it's a big moment for the West End. So we thought it would be fantastic to get some insight into how they're all gearing up for it for someone who's right in the thick of it. There's a lot to learn around bringing an industry together for the greater good, which is what we all need now more than ever. And that is what SALT does so very, very well and what we're going to hear about more today. So Emma, let's dive into it. SALT, or Society of London Theatre, is such a wonderful proposition, bringing together important industries of London, both theatre, arts, entertainment, as well as tourism, from what I can gather. Can you just give us a quick overview of the remit of SALT?
Yes, well, it was primarily set up as a trade and legal body to represent theatre owners and producers with the unions. But as the years have gone on, it has really morphed into a sort of lobbying and championing of theatre to both government, local government, but also, you know, certainly for me, it's about championing theatre to audiences, encouraging audiences to come, encouraging audience development. We have programmes that really just take kids from sort of cradle to grave in order to be able to get them to come back into theatre and have the best experience possible. And so whether that is making theatre more accessible in terms of assisted performances or making people theatre more accessible in terms of promotions like Kids Week or Get Into London Theatre or our world famous TKTS booth, it's all about opening up our theatres to as many people as possible whilst supporting our members and making sure that they are able to take advantage of every opportunity to promote what we do. Brilliantly.
Yeah, that's every producer's dream, isn't it? Having a resource dedicated to audience development. So, yeah, that's terrific. So obviously you guys are just emerging from COVID now. So do you want to just give us a quick timeline, I guess, of what happened in the UK and West End theatres since March last year, just for a bit of context?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm nearly there emerging, not quite out the woods yet, but we're hoping and keeping everything crossed. So I can't believe it's been over a year. So we took the decision to close theatres on March the 16th, which was a week prior to the country going into national lockdown. And it's been really tough because unlike restaurants, right, you will know this from Australia's point of view, it's not like you can create takeaway theatre. It was very hard to pivot. And though some amazing things have happened, theatre has done incredible things in terms of live streams and also being everything, you know, wardrobe mistresses were making scrubs and, you know, theatres were being used as food banks. It's been really tough and really devastating. There's been a lot of redundancies. And I think for us, in the first stages, it was really just handling mass cancellations. We'd never been in that position before. And so a lot of the first work we were doing was trying to bring everybody together to have a consistency of approach to that, because it was chaos at the beginning, if I'm being absolutely honest. And so what we set up was a rolling monthly series of saying, announcing, you know, that we would not be opening till this date and that we would just then actually refund or exchange tickets for that period. So some of that at the beginning was just very much about just getting people to all, you know, work together, which was quite challenging. And then it was sort of what was clear to us was we did a survey to our members just to go, you know, when is the money going to run out? Because of course our whole remit is about box office, and without audiences there is no income coming in. And so we had those stats, and we started then to really go, right, if we're going to work together, we need to have a joint and collaborative approach to government, because there was no point everybody going off with different asks. We had to really come together. And so that was sort of where we sort of pulled together this media briefing, and from the stats in our surveys that we were doing, we were able to go, right, okay, the thing that nobody can really do is reopen properly with social distancing measures in place. So that became sort of our rallying cry. And also, we were very lucky, I don't know how it worked in Australia, but we had the furlough scheme and we had various different packages for self-employed. But a lot of our workforce felt did not qualify for any of those things. So there was a lot of sort of lobbying to government to try and get additional support. So that sort of took up those early months. And we were able to get Sam Mendes. We drafted a piece for Sam Mendes to write in the FT about the importance of theatre and actually sort of calling out Amazon and Netflix to support us in our time of need. And actually, we got a huge amount of response from that article, because the Treasury called Sam, and then also Netflix reached out to us. We were able to get 500,000 to set up a fund called the Theatre Artists Fund, and the Society did all sort of back end for Sam. And we launched that in July, on the same day that the government announced their Creative Recovery Fund, that $1.75 billion, which was amazing for the whole cultural sector, not just theatre. But that has definitely been a lifeline, and we've been the only sector to be able to get that specific support, because, of course, we weren't able to benefit from it because we weren't able to open. We couldn't benefit from things like the Eat Out, Help Out initiatives or any of the VAT reductions, because we just weren't opening. And what we saw is, in over that summer, theatres, open air theatres, were allowed to open. So a couple did. But the problem is, what I think the government didn't realise, and we kept trying to sort of get across, is that theatre could not be turned on like a tap. It takes time to build it, you know, back up. So though some theatres opened, there was not many. And then we were allowed for a period to open with social distancing. But again, a little bit like you, we then went into other lockdowns. And so it was really a very sort of small window, and not many shows were able to open. But what we did do at that point was sort of support the venues with our See It Safely mark, which was a sort of toolkit for helping venues across the country to open with a consistent approach. And so we were sort of being able to do that. And then we sort of had this journey where, you know, we had a little ray of light pre-Christmas, then went into full lockdown, and we're only just emerging now, really. So we've had this staggered roadmap in the UK, and it's been really tough for, you know, many of the industry, because they just haven't been able to do what they are trained to do. But we are starting to see a glimmer of hope. So from May the 17th, we have been able to open with social distancing. So a number of venues are starting to reopen their doors. And then from June the 21st, if everything goes to plan, I'm keeping everything crossed, because it has been such a roller coaster. Every time you think that something's happening, there's then another variant, or there's wobbles from government. But hopefully June the 21st, I'll be doing a big press moment to announce that theatres are truly back. And what we're going to see is probably a staggered approach, with theatres opening across the summer, but the majority sort of actually won't be all back until the autumn. But I think that staggered approach will actually serve us well, because we'll be able to build up that audience confidence. And also we won't completely saturate the market with everything opening at the same time. But that's sort of, yeah, that is a whistle stop tour as of how, to yeah, where we are now. But it's been challenging.
Yeah. Well, there's some really creative solutions in there. I mean, from turning the theatres into food banks, which is just fantastic, through to hitting up Netflix. I mean, that's you've had come up with some really creative solutions to hang in there. And yes, we've had some similar, I guess, funding and government support in varying levels for different members, but it's nothing replaces obviously getting reopened. So you're nearly there. We've got our fingers crossed for you as well.
Thank you.
But how are the producers and theatre owners now going about getting back to what they do best? So you mentioned the staggered openings, which I think is really smart. Are there any other initiatives that they've taken on there?
Well, I think what we've done is we've really used this time to renegotiate with the unions and to come up with new agreements. So, for example, Sunday performances, actually making those, you know, more viable, because we're just looking at every opportunity to maximise when audiences want to come. So, you know, people have been changing their performance schedules. I think looking at their pricing structures as well. So actually having tickets available, a whole range of different prices. And I think what we've seen is that the producers have sort of wanted to start to get back to just remind people about the excitement and magic of live theatre. And I think our job has been to sort of do the reassurance side. So we launched last year the See It Safely campaign, but we've really built on that because we do know that though there's a proportion of our audiences who are just desperate to come back, they cannot wait to come back, there are still those who, even with the vaccination programme going so well, are nervous. So that reassurance piece is crucial. So I think that what we've done is sort of rolled that out, and I think that the producers are responding really well to that. And what we've done is looked at them getting behind those sort of key collaborative moments. So having the See It Safely, and then also as the shows reopen, we want to capture that moment with our Back on Stage campaign, where audience will share their first experiences of theatre. And what we're seeing now already is that momentum starting to build, where producers are sharing their rehearsal moments, all those things. But I think it has been tough, and I think the producers have had to take some tough decisions about sort of how they're remounting their shows. But I think that there is definitely, when the roadmap was first announced, you were seeing producers falling into two camps, those who were more nervous and were not wanting to open until much later, and those that were like, right, we can't wait. What's been interesting is the momentum has grown and more shows now are opening over the summer than originally planned. And I think what is really reassuring is those big openings now, Moulin Rouge, which I know, you know, is a Australians, baby, they just went on sale, they're opening in the autumn, and have, you know, had a really, really strong on sale. So I think the producers are sort of getting back into just doing what they do brilliantly, creating fabulous shows that people want to come and see.
Oh, that's terrific, isn't it? I mean, yes, that's what they do. They want to put on shows so people can come and see it. So
yeah,
focus on what you do and control what you can control seems to be a good motto through it all. I was going to ask you what were some of the key initiatives Salt's bringing. You've mentioned the See It Safely toolkit and the hashtag Back on Stage. I'm also interested in the tourism side of your world, because obviously that is so critical for London theatre. Tell us a bit more about how you're partnering with those organisations.
Absolutely, because I think the real challenge for us at the moment is historically we were having a record-breaking year. In 2019 we hit 15 million visitors. Now those 15 million were divided up by a third overseas, a third domestic, and a third London. And what's been clearly devastating is that the international market has pretty much been written off. So Visit Britain and London and Partners, who are our two big tourism bodies, have completely pivoted over the summer and are doing big domestic campaigns. So Visit Britain is doing a more general campaign called Escape the Everyday, and they are pushing people away from our coast and country side, which is completely booked up this summer, and trying to encourage people back into the cities, because they recognise that city breaks, encouraging people to be a tourist in their own city, is what's going to really help us through this period. London has been affected really badly by the COVID pandemic, because nobody's in the offices. No, you know, there's just nobody coming in. People are very nervous about coming in and travelling by tube. That was a huge barrier. So the mayor's office have secured 6 million in funding. And they've, with industry input, they've got to 2.75 million big Let's Do London campaign, which launches the domestic market in, it started now, it was launched on May the 10th, but goes into a big place from middle of June. We're actively part of that. And that is all about just coming and being a tourist in your own city and just reminding people how brilliant London can be. Then the other two strands of that campaign, which are also critical, is actually the Ready When You Are campaign to get people back on the tubes, which is about encouraging people to show how many safety measures, how clean they are, the fact that actually COVID now you can't catch COVID from a surface. So they're trying to make sure that people feel reassured about coming back onto the tube network. And then the final piece is actually, which again will be critical for us, is encouraging people back into their offices, because we won't get that door trade or the, just everything unless people come back. And I think also theatres coming back is seen as a key strand of that, because really we didn't come back, do you know what I mean, last summer at all, whereas other attractions were able to. And we know that theatre is such an economic, key economic driver. You come to the theatre, you'll go to a restaurant, you'll go off and you will go shopping, and or you'll go and go into a gallery before you go, you know, go to the theatre. And it also means you'll probably like to stay at night overnight and stay in a hotel. And that's one of the key motivators of this campaign, is to get people actually to make a weekend of it or make a mini break of it, because to be brutally honest, that's how we'll generate more income and help restart and restart the economy in London. So that is a key motivator at the moment. So we've tried to be as supportive as we can, and also I'm being charmingly irritating about just trying to ensure that theatre is included wherever it possibly can be. And so I was delighted that when the mayor launched the campaign, he actually launched it from the Globe Theatre with Adrian Lester. You know, so theatre was heart, you know, absolutely there. They are going to be doing an advert. I'm determined that the West End is a part of that. And then also looking at the radio campaign, social, everything that we can, you know, can do to be able to support and encourage that.
We're in a similar space, really. Like, not everyone's back in the offices. You know, there's not everyone's using the trains again in some of the cities. So that's certainly in Melbourne that experienced that longer lockdown. We're in a similar boat trying to build that back up again. I love Let's Do London, and success breeds success, you know. So if people are coming into the theatre, then it's just a snowball, isn't it? It just kind of gathers momentum and you're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think for us then, I think from September onwards, both Visit Britain and London and Partners will pivot in trying to bring back the international market. But I think the realisation at the moment is that actually getting our domestic market to come back out to enjoy their cities is really, really crucial.
So I know you personally had a huge hand in Kids Week. It was certainly in its infancy when I worked for Cameron back in London all those years ago. Tell us how it's so important to rebuild those audiences. How do you plan to reinvigorate that initiative?
It's challenging, really. I mean, with Kids Week, because we're going to have, we won't know that June the 21st is definitely going ahead until a week before. So it's a pretty sort of seat of your pants type of you know, ride at the moment. And what we normally do with Kids Week, I mean, normally Kids Week would be done and dusted. Kids Week's now a month. It lasts for the whole of August. We usually sell over 200,000 tickets each month, and we have all these different free activities and events. And I think really this year that's going to be quite hard to deliver on the same scale. So the plan with Kids Week is actually to do it via the API, because then we'll give a bit more flexibility, and so we will, and shows will be able to come on much later. But the idea, if everything goes to plan, is to launch on July the 1st and then run it for the month of August, because we'll have different shows opening at different times. We won't expect this year to that, because normally in order to participate in Kids Week, every single show needs to do some sort of free event and activity. So that's, it's been brilliant over the years, you know, dance workshop with Chicago, you know, sort of doing an acting workshop with Les Mis, singing workshops. It's been, and that's what makes Kids Week so unique. But this year it felt like it was just too much of an ask to expect the shows who just to open to also do this as well. So what we're going to do is the shows will do their offer, their brilliant Kids Week offer, which is kids go free with every full paying adult, and up to two children go at half price. We're going to have to think about how we manage and message that, because the API doesn't give me a free ticket. It's not as it's not as nimble as an allocation. So I've got to work at how we message it. And then we are talking to the mayor's office, in fact, call after this is with them about them sponsoring some activity in Leicester Square, which will be a week of storytelling, music workshops, stuff that people can come to and enjoy, so they can still have a Kids Week experience. And we're also looking at what we can do from a virtual, you know, point of view as well, because that has been a key element of the of our lockdown experience. So looking at whether we can do things around that. But I think what encourages me is when when we had the July bombings a number of years ago, Kids Week, our booking patterns changed. Kids Week's like Glastonbury. On the first day, it completely goes crazy. You'd have thought parents had never been able to come to the theatre before, but the Kids Week brand is really strong. And what we saw last time was that on the July bombings, that our patterns changed. People were very nervous. So they booked at the beginning, but then they just weren't booking again. But that once we got to August and families were coming in and actually felt safe, realised that it was all right. There wasn't, you know, and that then they acted as amazing ambassadors to other families to come in. So in fact, we ended Kids Week that year at the same place that we'd done in previous years. And what I'm hopeful is that because Kids Week's such a strong brand, because we're doing it when we normally do it, it doesn't feel like a knee jerk, it doesn't feel like discounting for the sake of discounting, that that will bring back that family market, which we know from our research is the ones that are most desperate to come back. They have been going stir crazy at home. They've been doing, you know, certainly I speak for myself, you know, homeschooling is not fun. And so I think that that market is the ones that are desperate to come back, but I think price will be a barrier. So that's where Kids Week can really help. So I'm just keeping everything crossed. And that sort of idea of using audiences as ambassadors is very much sort of the thinking behind the Back on Stage, the social media element of the Back on Stage campaign, which is about people sharing their experiences. Because once people see other people coming back, that feels like, oh, actually, it's not bad. And if, you know, we absolutely know as marketeers that the one thing that really helps above all else is word of mouth. So how do you channel that, and how do you use social in a really positive way to get that message across really authentically? And so I think that's going to be a crucial part of our summer strategy. And at the moment, what's the main thing we're doing is just telling people what's on, because when things have been closed, it sounds so bloody obvious, but actually just telling people what is coming back. And we were given free space on the London Underground because theatre has been such a key supporter of outdoor media in the past. So we got about £300,000 worth of free space. And I was able to negotiate that. I mean, it was a diplomatic challenge, as you can imagine. We divided up into 10 packages and then literally put the shows into groups of four and then did a whole welcome back to London Theatre. So we could get across the whole breadth of stuff coming, but trying to decide which shows went with which, as you can imagine, was quite difficult at times. We absolutely pulled it off, and actually that campaign launched last week and got a mention in PR Week as a great demonstration of collaboration and working well. So I'm chuffed that that's gone, but it was still, again, quite traumatic because just the day before it was supposed to go up, you know, we got the Indian variant. It's like, oh my goodness, I'm just announcing all these shows coming back. Will they? But yeah, mm-hmm. So that's where we are at the moment.
We're finding as well, I mean, that's great that you got a bit of PR coverage out of such a great initiative, but we're finding the media to be very kind and supportive of the shows coming back, as they should be.
Yeah, I think that's been one of the best things, that we've had such supportive media throughout this, and that's been huge. I mean, Mousetrap was the first show to actually open on the 17th of May, and they had more requests. They couldn't actually handle the number of press requests to come and cover the show. They could not fit everything in. So it's been
after 60 odd years.
Yeah, oh, it's unbelievable. I mean, yes, the longest running show, the first to come back. I mean, you know, it's not groundbreaking, but it's been amazing. And actually, knowing how supportive the media has been is something that we're looking at, sort of like, what do we do? What big press moment do we create around the 21st of June? Because we are the last to properly reopen fully. So how do we maximise that? And yes, I'm glad that your media has been same as ours, because that's been really, really helpful. And I think having the press behind us has really helped with our lobbying with government. And we've sort of been able to hit beyond our weight, really. You know, we've actually been able to make much more of an impact.
Now, I don't want you to be late for the mayor's meeting. I'm going to ask you one more question before I hit you up with our nice little finishing questions. But I know so much of it's out of your hands, but if you could have done anything differently, what would that have been?
I think definitely I wish we'd been better prepped at the beginning for actually, because we knew when it was starting to rumble that we might have to cancel, do you know what I mean, shows. And I think that I wish we'd been able to get more agreement prior, you know, only the week before, but if we'd got a more joined up approach then, rather than actually doing it post, you know, having to announce closure and then it being just chaotic because people were doing their own thing. I wish that had been able to happen. And I think that I wish we'd introduced. We've done the, as part of See It Safely, we've done these ticketing principles, because one of the things we think is really important is about giving customers flexibility. So the idea there is that you can exchange up to 24 hours before the show. And it was quite tough to get everybody just mean behind that. And I've done a good job of getting the theatres there. But I suppose what I regret is that it's been quite hard to bring the ticket agents jumping on board as well, because I think they've had quite a tough time. And I feel that for me, I've had so many people, I've had to look after my producers and theatre owners, because those are my members. But it's just, I just want everybody to be able, to work together. And it's just balancing everybody's needs. So I think if I could do something different, I think it would have been to involve ticket agents, producers and theatre owners in that first stage. And I think that now, if we ever came into this situation again, we'd have a clear, set of protocols. Whereas, I'd done crisis comms for all sorts of things, for terrorist attacks, for everything, but actually a pandemic was never there.
I think we were all rambling at the beginning, though, weren't we? I mean, what we have achieved, and we've talked about so many of those initiatives today, has been phenomenal. And I think everyone looked back and went, gee, we were scrambling at the beginning because there was such a great unknown.
But I think what has been a real positive out of all this has been the collaboration. So not only the collaboration between members, but also, as you were saying, how supportive the press have been, but also how supportive a lot of our long-term partners have been, that they have stuck with us. So, Netflix giving funds to kickstart the Theatre Artists Fund, but also we just had started a partnership with Sky and Sky VIP, and they've been incredibly supportive, because what they've done is created content where they've actually paid these shows to be part of that. Mm. And so that's been hugely beneficial. And so I think all of those, just like sort of the outdoor media groups, Global Media, JC Deco, giving stuff and supporting us. And I think we've seen the absolute best of people as well. And I think what I realise is how valued theatre is to both audiences and to the wider sort of landscape, and just how that's been a real positive for me, just to see how people have been so willing to help and to be collaborative, and how much more you can achieve when you work together and when you go in with a joint voice and a joint approach.
Yeah, well, you've got plenty of runs on the board on that front. really impressive what you guys have rolled out as a collective over there. So congratulations. We might just fly through a couple of other quick ones, because we do love to hear our big philosophical question is, why does arts matter? I'd love to get your take on that.
I think it's just good for your soul, art. I think it's, it makes life worth living. And it's, we've just done a stat where we've shown that actually the theatre saves the NHS £102 million a year, just because of the mental health benefits of theatre and the arts. And that stat, and I just think when you've had something taken away from you, goodness, don't we know why it matters? And it's because it's about connecting. People need people. And in the arts, you get a reaction, you get a connection, and it makes you think about things differently. And I think brilliant art makes you question stuff. It also just can be, at the most simplest level, just a way of sharing stories and connecting. And I think what's so wonderful for me is I think you're never too young to experience art and theatre. And one of the highlights in lockdown, I'm on the board of the Rose Theatre in Kingston, which is like my local theatre, and they were open for a very brief period of time. And I was able to take my niece, who was 3, to her first theatre experience with Stickman. And it was just so wonderful to see that, my children can take or leave theatre. I've clearly done my job pretty badly, but my niece was absolutely transfixed. And I think, to be able to see something where she just got so much out of the experience. And she's still now, every time I say, so when are you taking me to the theatre again? I said, I'm trying. I'm trying. Did you open them up? But I do think why art matters is it makes us more human, and it makes us see things differently. And it just is fun. It gives us a chance to escape. And I think that as we all come through this pandemic, actually the role of art is going to be more important than ever, because it's going to allow us to reconnect and rebuild. And that excites me.
Oh, that's lovely, Emma. Thank you. That's, yeah, I could not agree more with that sentiment. Where did you discover your love of theatre or entertainment? Have you got a quick story on that?
I got kicked out of ballet at the age of 3 for talking too much, so ended up going and doing drama. And I was very lucky that when I, at my junior school, Andrew Lloyd Webber decided he didn't want stage school kids in his shows for Evita. And so I was in the original production of Evita as a child. And it was, I was a little rich girl, and it was so exciting. And it just actually, one of that inspirations for Kids Week was to be able to show that behind the scenes element, which had been so important to me. And then I just ended up doing National Youth Music Theatre because the school I was at, there the boy, I took myself off to the boys' school to do drama because the girls' school was doing nothing, and then ended up getting involved in the National Youth Music Theatre, which was ridiculous. I couldn't sing really, and I was surrounded by people in my year who all went off and were staggeringly successful. Like I was in the year of Jude Law and Johnny Lee Miller and all this, and me who couldn't even sing Happy Birthday in tune. But it did give me a passion. I think what it also made me realise was I didn't want to perform, but what I did was I wanted to tell people about theatre. And I used to want to be Barry Norman. We used to have this programme on TV here called Film, you know, whatever year it was. And it used to tell people about all the films that were on. I thought, I want to do that for theatre. I haven't quite done that. But what I have done is created a job where I've been so lucky to do really my dream job and be able to develop it. I never, ever thought I'd be at SALT for as long as I have. But I have truly and continue to love every minute, even though at times it's very challenging, but it's been brilliant to be able to see people come to the theatre and enjoy theatre.
So good. Well, thank you so much, Emma. That was absolutely terrific. What amazing insights into getting the West End open again. It is so important for so many reasons. Anyone who's ever been to the West End has just wonderful memories of the shows they've seen there and the experience that they have. So we have everything crossed for you. We cannot wait to have London life back to where it belongs, and we wish you all the very, very best of luck with it all. And thank you again for your time today.
Thank you so much. Take care.